You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Welcome, everyone, to the Wolverine.com podcast here on the Wolverine.com. As you can see, Anthony Broom here with Ryan Van Bergen and grins that will be tough to wipe off both of our faces for the here and now, for the foreseeable future. Ryan, Michigan Wolverines are Big Ten champions. They're going to the college football playoff. Well, let's just start there.
Oh, it feels so good. I mean, it's... feels like such a cool story. You couldn't put anything, you couldn't write literature that has the twists and turns, I feel like, that Jim Harbaugh has gone through here as a coach. And to have a team come together like this team did in a year where nothing was expected, and not being ranked and expected to finish fourth in our side of the division, for these guys to come out and have, I think, the most dominant Big Ten championship performance that maybe has ever occurred since the beginning of this game, and to slap around Ohio State at the end of the year, and just the way that they dominated all facets of the game and just got to be such a great team. This is a storybook team. This might be the best. Everybody knows the 97 team, but we might have just watched the best Michigan football team that's ever worn the winged helmets, and that's pretty special.
Wow. I mean, that's where we're at. I mean, we'll talk about the game in a second, but this is the culmination of, you know, what you and I have been talking about over the last several weeks, what the season has been about from the jump. I mean, this is a group that willed this into happening. I was here in July, same building, Lucas Oil Stadium, Indianapolis, for Big Ten Football Media Day. And they all said, we're going to beat our rivals. We're going to beat Ohio State or die trying. We want to win the Big Ten. We want to make the college football playoff. They're here. And, you know, make no mistake about it, Ryan. Like, this is the expectation. This is where Michigan should be. So this isn't like some Cinderella breakthrough type of, you know, upstart season. This is where they should be. But this team coming off of that season, what happened last year and everything and all the change, this is a special group of guys. They got this done through willpower. They spoke it into existence. Just an incredible, we'll talk about the game here, but like I said, just an incredible display throughout the season, and capped it off about as good as you can.
And another thing, I mean, the players are so special and deserve so much recognition, but the coaching staff, for Harbaugh to do what he did as far as taking his contract down, going out, finding new blood, you know, they talked about it on the broadcast that I think all the assistant coaches are under the age of 40, bringing Mike Hart back, Mike McDonald on. You could go on about a couple of these other coaches. And the chemistry that these guys have found, I think they fed off of each other, the coaches and the players. And there's just a lot of love and a lot of chemistry that you can just visibly see on this team. And they're a special team, and now they're going to be decorated as such, which I think everybody is more than deserving that's been a part of this program.
Well, let's talk about the football game now. It started out, Michigan led 14-3 after the first quarter. Probably could have led by more than that, but, you know, a little bit of a slow start, but still up by two scores. The middle two quarters were what they were. I think they let Iowa hang around a little bit, but fourth quarter, winning time to put a game away, 21 points. I think their second half drive chart went touchdown, punt, touchdown, touchdown, touchdown. These are the things we've been talking about for weeks, Ryan. Closing time, making plays, leaving no doubt. This team made a case throughout this game. We'll get into some of the finer stuff here, but I guess I'll just ask this. Do you think they deserve the number one ranking when these you know, we're 12, less than 12 hours away from the playoff rankings coming out? Number one?
I think you can make that argument. I think that Bama has a strong, really strong case, being that they just beat a unanimous number one undefeated Georgia team and handled them. You know, one thing that I do think works in our favor is that this was not a close game that we squeaked out past Iowa. This was a really dominant performance. And regardless if we're the one or the two, I don't know how much that really impacts our chances of becoming national champions. We're going to have to beat at least one good SEC team and potentially two of them. And if anyone can do it, why not this team? I thought about that before we got on. Was, yeah, they might have to beat the two best teams in the SEC back to back, but this team could do it. It's possible. So, yeah, I think we should be considered. Does it really matter to me? Am I going to get up in arms about it either way? No. We're going to have to win some tough games.
Yeah, and what's not going to happen is they're not going to have Alabama and Georgia play in that first semifinal. I think they would probably set it up for a rematch in the title game. So really, at the end of the day, number one, number two, it doesn't really matter because I think this team's going to wind up playing Georgia. So we'll see. But let's talk about this game now. Early on, I think, you know, we just read off the box score there. Started fairly quick and finished strong. What did you see from this team right out of the gate on Saturday night?
I feel like we saw just a great balance offensively. First play of the game, swing pass. You know, we talked about that with Jake Butt on Friday, that we needed to spread these guys out. You saw so much success, I think, early with the swing passes and getting to the edge with Corum on the long run and the reverse to Henning. Then our trick play that we had, that we were throwing them, I think, off of our scent, and then we settled into what we like to do. And I just think Gattis, he's improved every game. I feel like as a play caller, he's had quite a bit of criticism hurled his way, but I feel like his growth as a coordinator and especially as a play caller, he has turned into a composer and someone that hopefully we can keep, because I think he's going to be getting some sniffs here, if not after this year, potentially next year for head coaching gigs. So offensively, I really liked how we played. And then McDonald's defense is just the perfect complement. It's steak and twice baked potatoes is what we got on offense and defense there. And for Iowa, I don't know. They had, I think, maybe three trips to the red zone and came away with one successful field goal attempt. Our defense has been the same all year. We give people yards. We're letting them move the ball a little bit. No big deal. But when you get down to where it's time to score, that's when we're going to start really giving you problems. And I thought all of our guys played really well. We're in great position. And Iowa just could not find any rhythm offensively. Made our offense probably feel more comfortable and led to us playing the game we wanted to play again in a big game, which is just huge. We're controlling big games. Harbaugh had us streaking out, winning big games. Now we're not only winning, but we're controlling big games, which is just – how we skipped that step, I don't know, but I'm just so pleased to be watching it because it's a lot of fun to dominate an entire game. I think I just had your audio cut out, Anthony, if you can hear me.
That's my bad. That's what happens when we do it live. We're good. Yeah, we're good. We're still rolling here. Joe Kirkland says, Ryan's good luck baby worked again. Go Blue. How much of the game did she watch with you?
She watched the whole thing, and she wore a shirt that said, I watch Michigan football with Daddy, and that was the same thing she wore in the Ohio State game. Daddy's a little superstitious. Not a lot superstitious, but as Michael Scott says, I'm a little stitious. So I've got to hang on to her, and she's with me all the time, whether she likes it or not.
Well, hey, well, what I was saying before I cut out was it wasn't all bad for Iowa. They won time of possession, and they kicked the ball a lot, and they have a brand, and God bless them, they stick to it. Yeah, that was huge. The Iowa's three best drives of the day, they got one field goal out of it. That's, I mean, defense making plays when they had to. I thought there were some kind of uncharacteristic mistakes, especially in terms of penalties. The Taylor Upshaw taunting penalty, that's not something you need. You know what's weird is that it seemed like a lot of the things that went wrong for them in terms of mistakes were kind of the things we all braced to happen in a game like the Ohio State game last week. So maybe they just had to get it out of their system. But Iowa couldn't complete a forward pass. And the way they play offense is, to me, an affront to the sport of football. So just great job by the Michigan defense. I want to turn to offense now. Again, it was just kind of chip away. And then you got a couple big plays there early on in the first quarter. Things were a little stagnant in the middle stages there. But, you know, it felt like once they got a stop and then went out and scored a touchdown, I think on that first drive of the second half, like there was no – I don't want to say there wasn't a threat, but Iowa just isn't built to come back in games like this.
It had to be on the game plan to get a lead. Like we talked about, again, Jake Butt called that one, that we've got to get a lead on these guys because that'll take them out of their element. And I thought even though it kind of just stayed at 14-3 for a stretch there, that we could tell that it felt like Iowa was pressing. They were out of their element. They're in the gun on first and 10, and they're throwing the ball on first and 10 and second and eights. And it was Iowa seemed desperate before desperation was necessary, but I think they saw what was probably coming. I thought we got their very best drive number one. Drive number two, they come down and moving the ball a little bit, but I could tell that the play sheet, the scripted plays had ended, and it was going to start time to play football. And I don't think that they thought they could hang with us. They knew that they had to either keep up or they'd get blown away, and that's kind of what happened.
Well, they were going to have to do what they always do and just kind of bring you down to their level. You know, Michigan played with fire a little bit in the second quarter, especially with A.J. Henning. I mean, he cost them a lot of yards in the punt return stuff, really set Michigan's offense back. But to their credit, defense was able to or the offense was able to just kind of get through it, not make the mistakes that were going to allow Iowa to stay in this game. And they did in the first half. I mean, it was 14-3 at the end of the first quarter, 14-3 at the end of the half. I know there were a lot of nervous birds on Twitter and I'm sure people in the comments here, but at the end of the day, it never felt like Michigan wasn't controlling this game.
I would agree. I feel like we recognized pretty quickly that Iowa was going to have to do something pretty special to get into the end zone. And our offense was just kind of chipping away at the rock, waiting for something to move, something to fold. And we didn't need any urgency to get more explosive on offense. We just needed to take care of the ball and make sure we weren't getting smashed in field position, which is kind of what was happening for the first few series. And once you, you know, realize that your defense is going to stand up against these guys, like you said, they're not going to complete a pass that's going to go beyond the sticks. So if I'm offense, I'm just trying to hold on to the ball, make good decisions. And that's kind of, I think, what you saw. And eventually it wore them down, and that's what you think you saw the third and then fourth quarter, just kind of the willpower was gone for Iowa. We grinded them down with body blows, and they were done.
How did you feel about how Cade McNamara played in this game?
I thought he played pretty well. Iowa came with it. There were some good pressures out of Iowa's defense. Their linebackers are more athletic than I gave them credit for in the pregame. Their defensive line, although they're undersized, they play tough, and they were doing a really good job of slowing us down from climbing to second level. That was something I continued to notice, which is why the run game was not going as it normally does. But I think McNamara is just a cool customer. I think something that is a necessary component of a championship team is someone with great leadership qualities, along with takes care of the football, makes good decisions, all those other stuff that you look for in a quarterback. But you can just tell leadership wise, these guys look to him, and he's just a cool, calm customer and goes out there and handles business. He had one interception that, you know, wasn't a great throw to Eric All, but Eric All would not normally, I think, lay that into the lap of the Iowa defender. And overall, he just plays another clean, good football game. And he's maybe one of the best game-managing quarterbacks that I've seen in college football in a long time. So he's a Big Ten champion, like all the rest of them. And I think that it's well-deserved because he's a big-time leader of the team.
Yeah, it's been a thing with him all year where he's going to do a couple things in the game that drive you insane, where he misses a throw or he throws behind someone or just, you know, we know it happens, but every single time they've needed just one drive all season long, he's been able to give them that. And that's where I think he deserves a little more credit than just being, I know when we hear game manager, that sometimes that can be a nice way of saying that a quarterback is pedestrian. Cade McNamara is a good quarterback, a good clutch quarterback. Every time they've needed it, he's given it to him. And you know what? Sometimes it's just as simple as doing this and handing the ball off. But like I said, the guy, there's a lot of talented Michigan quarterbacks from the last 17, 18 years that haven't won a Big Ten championship. And he gets to say that now. So just a outstanding performance from him. You know, made the plays he needed to make. How about Donovan Edwards? He might be the best quarterback on the team.
That ball was legit. That ball was legit. And it's, we thought he might be a guy that breaks out. Corum's a guy that breaks out. This team has so many people offensively that I still think one of the biggest issues Gattis has to be presented with when doing a game plan is where my touch is going. But great play, great call. Just another, wrinkle that we continue to add and get better. And I don't know, I think Gattis, I'm really excited to see where this offense goes. I'm excited about the finish of this year, but Gattis, I feel like he's got something special moxie wise as a coordinator and as a play caller, and he's kind of finding his stride, and it's only going to get better. I think
I do want to take some questions from the chat, so feel free to chime in with that, you guys. This is your Big Ten championship celebration as well. I will start with this as a talking point, though, Ryan. Now that we have this week 1 through week 14, we have the total picture now. I mean, whatever happens from here, it's gravy. You just punched a ticket to the big dance, and you see what happens from there. I'll say this. None of those teams want to see Michigan right now. They just don't. But was there a moment, or what was your moment, where you felt like this was potentially possible? Because There were some hiccups early on. Couldn't really throw the ball against Washington. The second half against Rutgers, there was pause there for some people. So what was the moment where you felt, you know what, this group might really be different?
Winning at Wisconsin was a big thing. Winning at Camp Randall, and Wisconsin hadn't found their stride yet, but we knew they were going to be a good team. Winning at Camp Randall was a big deal. And then I think going to Nebraska back-to-back on the road was another big deal and winning that game. And I think everybody probably had some questions after the Michigan State loss. That was a tough one to bear. But the rebound of this team and being able to go to Penn State and get a win and, you know, taking care of it, no trap games, taking care of never playing down to the level of an inferior opponent. And then watching Aiden Hutchinson and Dave, we talk about him all the time. People are probably sick of it, but it's just true. He's probably one of the most gifted defensive ends. I keep asking myself the question, him versus Chase Young, who would you pick? Because I think those are probably the two best defensive ends that we've seen in the Big Ten in the last 20 years. And I'm starting to lean more towards Aiden. And I think that the turning point for me was started a Wisconsin game, and then once they came back and came from behind at Happy Valley, when I was like, this team is got a chance to beat Ohio State. And you beat Ohio State, you go to the Big Ten championship and all that stuff. So I would say then, but realistically, I still don't think that I ever would have imagined that they would be dominating wins over Ohio State, dominating wins in the Big Ten championship. That's just such an extra gift, and just want to bask in it.
I'll say this about the Chase Young thing. He kind of disappeared down the stretch that year for Ohio State when he went off. So Aiden Hutchinson just seems like he's gotten better, and he had one sack tonight. Listen, I don't know if he's the Heisman or not, but he should be in New York. He deserves that much. I think Bryce Young probably locked that up the way he played, but Aiden Hutchinson should be there. So, and I think he will be. I want to take this comment from Chris here in the chat, who says, we were number 2, number 1 lost, and we pummeled number 15 to win a conference championship. And we don't move up. I mean, that's the case right there. I think that it will be Bama because we know how this works, and SEC is king, and we know what they're going to try and set up here. But pretty convincing case for number 1, wouldn't you say? And they ran it up a little bit on the end too. So I think someone whispered in Jim's ear down on the sideline, "Hey, we got a chance at the 1 seed. You want to keep your foot on the gas here, not just sit on this?" So, what do you think about the overall resume?
I know that we can make a case for being number 1. I just I don't want to set ourselves up for disappointment and focusing on the wrong things. It's something that we can't control. It's something that's probably got some behind the scenes people pulling strings in ESPN, and the SEC has a foothold. They're the milking bell cow of ESPN and college bowl games. So Bama's going to get some preferential treatment. And rather than set myself up for being upset about it, I'm just going to accept that we're the number 2 seed. And we're going to go kick an SEC team's ass next game. And I'm looking forward to it because I do feel like the Big Ten, on a bigger picture that we don't get to talk about all the time, the Big Ten doesn't get looked at to this in the same regard as the SEC. And like you said, Georgia and Alabama, I know they think they're really good teams. I know they don't want to play against Michigan. So I'm looking forward to however it shakes out, because Michigan will be a challenge for any team this year, because we are one of, if not the top team in the country.
Like I said earlier, too, they're going to play Georgia, and I imagine that's going to wind up being the late game. The nice thing about being number one, because, again, at the end of the day, it really doesn't matter because they are going to play Georgia, I assume. I shouldn't assume. That's not right. You get to, if you're number one, you get to pick which one you're going to. I know a lot of people, I think, would probably prefer Miami, just given travel logistics. But I think if I'm Michigan and I'm number one, I want to go play indoors in a climate-controlled area, in a place that you're pretty familiar with. They've played there a few times now. So any thoughts on Orange Bowl versus Cotton, or does it really even matter to you?
No, it doesn't matter. I mean, this team, mindset-wise, you have to have the mindset that no matter what time of day, where it's at, we've got to come out and play our best football, because brand-wise, Michigan is playing probably the best in all three facets of any team in the country. I don't know if we're the best offense or defense or special, but the three units together make us a very good and very dangerous team. And as long as we're playing the brand of football we've come to know here in November, and it just seems to keep getting stronger, put us Cotton, Orange, Fiesta, Papa John's, doesn't matter. We're going to get it done. So that's how I feel about them right now. They're a locomotive that has no tracks, and you do not want to be in the way of Michigan football right now.
Well, I know you're fired up. I know Jason Canfield is fired up. He says, so happy we won. Like, legit, I am still in disbelief. I'm telling you, man, the second half of that Rutgers game this year, I'm like, I just don't know if this – they were winning games the way they had before, bullying teams that they were clearly better than. But that was kind of a point where I'm like, is this – where is this going to go? I don't blame anyone who's in disbelief. It's been 18 years, 17 years. A lot of talented guys have passed through that locker room and didn't get a shot at this. And obviously, I mean, for Jim Harbaugh, like you said, it doesn't erase the fact that it took 7 years to get there. But it's like – they've exercised every single demon on the list this year, except for, you know, beating Michigan State. And I know there are Spartan fans hate watching this, because I know how you guys act. It's going to make them so mad moving forward in every additional win that Michigan tacks on, that their game didn't matter. It just didn't matter. Didn't matter. It happened, but it didn't matter.
Yep. And again, 2003, if I'm not mistaken, I think might have been a split. I'm not sure if it was or not, but I think we might have split that Big Ten championship.
2004 was 2003 was the last time it was an outright.
Is that outright? Okay. Regardless, just the dominating fashion. I mean, just relish in that, because you might never not see it again for another. Not that we won't win again. I do think we're kind of changing the culture, and this is one of those types of things that really shifts you into the next gear. I've talked about being tier one teams, tier two teams, and we've kind of had this glass ceiling that we haven't been able to punch through, and it feels like we're well through that glass ceiling, even just to this point of this year, regardless of how things shake out. But to do what we did in a dominating fashion in November and in the Big Ten championship game is something you might not see for a long time, so you better relish in it.
Well, I assume, again, shouldn't be assuming, but they're going to play Georgia. I'm sure you watched the SEC title game, or at least caught some of it. We've all watched Georgia throughout the year. SEC gets that spotlight. Early thoughts on a potential matchup with the Bulldogs?
I feel like Georgia is maybe a better matchup for us than Alabama is to play the first. If you're going to have to play an SEC team first, I feel like Georgia is a little stagnant on offense and can find some slumps, which is what happened, I think, today against Alabama. And, yeah, they've got a great defense, but any defense that's on the field too long or too many plays, too many snaps, will get exposed eventually. And so I don't mind the matchup with Georgia. Yeah, they're really good defensively, and they're going to be probably one of the best teams to stand up potentially to our run game, but we won't know until we try it. So I don't hate the matchup against Georgia. I think Bama and even Cincinnati, who I'm assuming is the fourth team, both have more dynamic offenses that, you know, you might want to try and run you out of the gym. And I like our matchup potentially against Georgia, and think it could be a good old-fashioned slugfest, and we'll see who's meaner this year, Big Ten or SEC, because I feel like that'd be a clash of the big guys and trenches and all the stuff I love to see.
Well, Ryan, they're going to the college football playoff. That's, oh my God, this is so, I had to tweet it. I literally tweeted out, Michigan football head coach is going to win a Big Ten championship and go to the college football playoff. And it was like one of those Magic Johnson-esque type of tweets, but I just had to type it out to see it. They're going to the big dance. They punched their ticket. They're one of the final four teams left standing. Can this team win it all?
They can. Yes, they can. It's I think, as good a chance for them as any of the other teams that are going to be involved, whoever they may be. It's a team that's playing their very best football. We're a healthy team. We have not had too many significant things. We'll be even more healthy, you know, provided everything goes well, preparing for the bowl game. And we're a team with lots of great senior leadership. And we've just gotten better and better and better. Bama struggled a little bit and went to – they went to overtime against Auburn. You know, Georgia just got beat and kind of got whooped in their championship game. Cincinnati doesn't know how good they are. They've just been walking around since they beat a Notre Dame team that I think is probably pretty average. We've been dominating, and we've dominated November. We dominated our championship game. That's why I feel like we have a not just a chance, but a good chance. A good chance, I still say, would be, you know, better than 25%. Out of the four teams that get there, but we've got just as good a chance as anybody with the momentum that this team has, leadership that this team has, and I wouldn't want to play us. If you had to circle one team you don't want to play, it would be us. And maybe that's 100% biased. I don't care, but that's how I feel.
What? The former Michigan player bias? That sounds crazy.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I want to totally lost my train of thought there. God, it has been such a weekend. We got in here Thursday night. We did the St. Elmo's thing. It has been a whirlwind of a few days. And we probably won't sleep tonight because we got to get back home and cover a college football playoff show tomorrow. But I just, your emotions throughout the lead up to the game, what was Saturday like for you? And then once the game was on, how locked in were you?
I've never felt like it took longer to get to 8 p.m. in my entire life. Woke up and did our feeding this morning at around 6:30, 7 a.m. And it's just like, oh, 13 hours. 13 hours we get to take the field. I feel like I watched the clock just tick all day waiting for this game to kick off. And it was just exciting. It's one of those things that, like, I'm now to an age where I feel like it's more important to me to know who I was with, what interactions did I have, who was I texting with, and that type of thing. And I made some detailed notes, and this is a good memory that I'm always going to be able to go back to. Well, if you think this team's good, you should have seen in 2021 when this is what happened. And I can't wait to be the one spinning the stories, because it's been really fun watching this team grow to what they've done and what they've accomplished. And can't believe it's not over. I mean, we're still getting spoiled. This would be fine, but then we get an opportunity to do something we've never done before and get to the college football playoff. So let's go win that too.
All right, well, the chat wants me to take off the red lanyard. Sorry, that's an oversight on my part. It is my credential, though. I need it to be up here. Something else I will say. So before the season, somehow I happened to have a chance encounter with Louis Hansen's dad, and he commented on my season prediction article where I said Michigan would go 8-4. I didn't think that was that hot a take. I actually thought I was being probably kind coming off of what last year was, but he said, I'll take the over. I'm like, okay, yeah, whatever. You're a player dad. You're biased, right? I'll take that bet, whatever it is. He goes, so, well, if I win, you have to wear Louis' shirt on the podcast. So because we're collecting tonight, all debts are paid. Shout out to Louis Hansen. Shout out to the Hansen family. So paid up the debts. We're good to go. Happy. I was happy. Trust me, I am so happy to be wrong. Gosh, where else do we go? I mean, I do want to end with this. Storybook season, special group of guys, or is this the beginning of something?
Both. I think you can have both. This, what we hope to do back to our team in 2011 was, when Coach Ho came in and we had an opportunity to win 10 games and then we beat Ohio State, we were thinking, like, this is bigger than us. We change the culture. You know, this is when things shift and we start getting competitive in the series and getting to the Big Ten championship game. And we all know that that's not how things shook out, because you wanted to be a part of that. It was tough to be in Michigan's team meeting room and for Lloyd Carr, for Rich Rodriguez, and for Brady Hoke to ask you guys who's beat Ohio State and no one gets to raise their hands. It's tough to be in that room when that happens. And these guys, there's been some generations of guys that they haven't been able to raise their hand when that question gets asked. And now it's like we've got this cloud away from us, a curse. I hard to believe, and might be a little exaggerating to say that we feel like we've been cursed as Michigan football, but there feels like there's kind of some of that vibe to some of the things that's been going on. And to have it feel lifted, to feel like things are, you know, turning the page, you got to tell a story about the Dragon Slayers, which are the 2021 Michigan Wolverines. But you know, the story goes on for the happy town that lives on, and hopefully we're right and this is something that we get familiar with. We've been to Big Ten championships before. We know how this works in the college football playoff, and Ohio State has to worry about us a little bit more. That'd be nice. It'd be nice to have that decade coming up next.
Well, I got people in the chat who are also asking you to take off the purple shirt because we don't support Brian Kelly around here. But this is a family program. Make sure everyone stays.
Weird lighting, I promise.
It's actually blue, right?
Navy. Yeah, this is Navy. I got the jump man somewhere over here.
Gotcha.
I promise. It's team issued.
Oh man, what a I got nothing, man. This season, this weekend, you know, I'll say it, like it made me feel and experience things I didn't really think were possible, jumping into a line of work like this, because especially, like, you know, the narrative has been what it is, a little bit cursed, breaks haven't gone their way. It kind of wears on you after a bit. I mean, it wears on everyone, but when you cover it and people hate tweet you for, you know, Michigan calls a press conference and you go, oh, dude, Jim Harbaugh in the program, they just can't stop talking. It's like, no, like, that's how it works. We have a job to do. This has been awesome, man. And the podcast with you have been awesome. And we've got at least one more game week pod. We won't be doing a morning podcast, given that it is Sunday morning now, technically, if you're watching or listening. But yeah, excited to keep it rolling. How's the group chat looking? I'm sure a lot of activity.
The group chat is pretty crazy. I mean, that's something that it has to be a part of other programs. But when you commit to Michigan, you play for Michigan, you know about the legacy, the tradition, and the group of guys that came before you. And so having multiple guys express the emotions that they're expressing for the joy that they feel for these guys, it just feels like you're a part of something big. And it feels like this is a new era for Michigan's football. And I think that this year's fantastic. We should absorb as much of this as we possibly can. But don't be afraid to be ambitious about where the program's going, because I feel like this is exactly what the doctor ordered in order to move us forward into that tier one type program. And I think we're on our way. And more good things in the future for Michigan football.
For sure. I think, you know, for years, it's always been, oh, remember, like you said, you put it perfectly. Oh, remember when the 97 team did this? Remember when the 2011 team beat Ohio State, went to the Sugar Bowl? Remember 1969 and the win over, like, it's not, the conversation turns to remember 2021. And, you know, Michigan has a storied past that should be embraced by everyone. But, you know, you don't have to hang your hat on the past anymore. It's here, and things are pretty good right now. So, well, that's going to do it for us from here. You from home, myself from high atop Lucas Oil Stadium. What an atmosphere. What a weekend. You know, you can follow Wolverine.com wherever you get your content. We still have the $1 deal going for the website, so the link to that will be in the description below. A year's worth of content of Big Ten championship football content for a year. Can't beat it right now. So be sure to sign up for that. A lot of work still to do. It's not going to be a quiet holiday season around these parts. So feels good to say that, though. So for Ryan Van Bergen, I've been Anthony Broom. Thank you guys so much for listening, for following along. And we got at least one more of these to do, maybe two. We'll see what happens. But regardless, it's been a lot of fun, and we'll be back with you soon. So enjoy this. Pour yourself another drink. You've got nowhere to go. It's celebration night. We don't, titles have been hard to come by around these parts. So have fun, enjoy it, and we'll talk to you guys again soon.